Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. I'll tell you. What are we going to be talking about is stomach power, taste bud power, food power. Yes, it's Christmas. Tomorrow is a marvelous holiday that so many of us enjoy. But do some of you sometimes wonder at the last minute, what could I do with vegetables? We always know about desserts. I visited with some friends just in the past couple of days, and one lady is a baking specialist, so I think coming up with desserts and yums are always easy to do. But when you're having a group of people and you're saying, gee, what could I fix? How could I make my vegetables great? Well, Zell Allen is my guest today. She's in California. Now, she put out a cookbook, Vegan for the Holidays. Now, I'm not a vegan, but I think her recipes are wonderful for vegetables. So I wanted to have her on the show because I feel good food, healthy food, is always important, and vegetables are just something I thoroughly enjoy. And she has so many wonderful applications that I just thought, how about that? This is a last-minute thing for you and wanting some ideas. Zell is the person to talk to. Hi, Zell Allen. Welcome to the show.
Hi there, and thank you so much.
Zell, whatever got you interested in cooking? I know we all have to do it at some level or another, but a lot of people just say, okay, if it can't cook in 30 seconds, I'm not interested. And I always have to chuckle because I've known a number of people like that, men and women both.
Oh, yeah.
But what got you interested in cooking? Why is it that that was something that you just felt you had a real affinity for?
Well, the really interesting thing is when I got married, I didn't know how to cook. I literally never had cooked.
Uh-huh.
And so, but my husband has a very adventurous palate. He loves all kinds of exotic foods. He loves to explore different flavors and textures. He's always willing to try something new and different. And so I knew that if I wanted to please this guy, I was going to have to get to his stomach.
Uh-huh. The old adage is true. You discovered that. Want to get a guy's attention, get it through his stomach. Uh-huh. But you got him first, and then you started learning about the cooking, right?
That's true. Well, when we got married, he said, okay, the kitchen's yours.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
All right.
He had been living on his own, so he was into cooking a little bit. But I was living at home. I was 21 years old, and I was fresh out of, you know, newbie school here. So I was determined I was going to master cooking. So I took it very seriously. I spent a lot of hours in the kitchen, and I got pretty good at it. And then about 22 years ago, we basically changed our diet and lifestyle to vegan for health
mm-hmm.
reasons. And so that meant learning new things, how to replace the meat on the table, how to replace the chicken or the fish or the eggs or the dairy products. So that meant really exploring new directions altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, vegetables are so absolutely necessary for good health. I mean, that's just a fact of life, and nobody's going to argue with that. But having tasty dishes, and that's what I found. Like I said, I'm not a vegan. So when I found out about your cookbook, I said, all right, let me check this out. But, oh, these recipes in here are just delightful. And sometimes when it comes to holidays and you want to prepare things and maybe you have a mixture, I have some friends that are vegetarians. They're not strict vegans, but they are vegetarians. And so I always have to keep that in mind. And then there are the others that are the meat eaters and others that are the chicken eaters. And you have all of these things that as a good hostess, you want to pay attention to.
True.
And vegetables often is... But you go, gee whiz, what am I going to fix? And that's what I liked about your cookbook. It doesn't make any difference what a person's taste buds are as far as being a meat eater or not being a meat eater. The vegetables are just wonderful, and you have some great recipes in here for the different holidays. You have it for Easter. You have it for, you also included some special things for Thanksgiving. And then you had Kwanzaa, foods for Kwanzaa, which I would like to touch on a little bit of this. Let's talk about a phyllo pie. Now, phyllo is a dough that is just absolutely amazing to work with. And how I first became acquainted with it was through tabbouleh. There's that dessert.
Baklava, maybe?
Baklava. That's the dessert.
Thank you.
My brain and my mouth are not working well in coordination right now. But what I was saying is baklava. That is where I first became acquainted with phyllo dough. Now, I've since used phyllo in making quiche and so many other things. And you have this wonderful, wonderful, you called it a Thanksgiving phyllo pie. But let's talk about this. How did this originate? Where did you come up with this? Because it's absolutely delicious. It uses almonds and walnuts and mushrooms. I mean, it's just, it's great.
Well, are you familiar with a dish called bastia? It's a Moroccan dish, and I think I got my inspiration from bastia. It's basically traditionally made with chicken and eggs and seasoned with a little bit of cinnamon, wrapped in a phyllo dough, and then on the top they sprinkle powdered sugar and cinnamon. And it basically is eaten with the hands. This is traditional Moroccan style. And I thought, well, what if I filled it with other goodies? So, yes, that was definitely where I got my inspiration. And it's a very flavorful dish, and it looks gorgeous when you serve it. You know, I like to create things that have a unique look about them. I think food has to be beautiful in order for people to find them appealing, especially people who might be averse to vegetables, you know. But I think we have a natural affinity for color. You see something colorful on the table, and your eye is just naturally drawn to it. Now, tomorrow I'm going to have some guests over, and one of the things I'm going to be making is an appetizer called Jolly Green Christmas Tree. You'll find that in the Christmas section of the book. And basically, it's made with peas and cannellini beans and seasoned up with mint, a touch of sugar, a little lime juice, and some chili and some nice flavors, garlic powder, onion powder, a little chipotle, a touch of cayenne, and it's a spread. And what I do is I spread it out on a dish in the shape of a Christmas tree, and then I decorate it with little bits of red and yellow bell pepper and diced carrots. And then I put a whole star anise at the top and, of course, serve it with crackers and toasted pizza bread. It's a great little appetizer, and it's beautiful to look at and tastes great.
Well, so I'd like my audience to know about this because this is fixed in a food processor.
So it is. It's so easy.
Let me just real quickly, if you're listening and you have a pad of paper and a pen, so let me just give this to you quickly. You're going to need 1 pound of frozen peas, and, of course, they have to be thawed, 1 15-ounce can of cannelli or Great Northern beans, drained and rinsed, 1/2 cup of coarsely chopped fresh mint leaves, 2 tablespoons of organic sugar, 2 tablespoons of freshly squeezed lime juice, 1/2 to 1 full jalapeno chili, seeded and coarsely chopped, 1 teaspoon of salt, 3/4 teaspoon of chipotle chili powder, 1/2 teaspoon each of garlic powder, onion powder, and 1/4 teaspoon of chili powder. If you want to add some cayenne, just use a tiny bit of that. All of that goes in your food processor, and you just blend it. And you might want to scrape it down, so if the peas are not blending the way you'd like, then just scrape it down and just let the machine do the work. And as she said, make it into the shape of a tree, and then you can use kind of finely diced bell pepper, carrots, a little bit of green onion, the white part if you want. And you don't have to use that if you don't want to. And like she said, she puts 1 whole star anise right at the top, or you can use cloves even. So this is something that's really, really fast, and it's really, really healthy and spicy and flavorful and served with chips, I think is great. You also had a lovely appetizer called sesame appetizer balls.
Oh, and, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Those are so good.
Yes. Yummy stuff, yes. That's got a base of whole wheat bread, basically. And I'm trying to remember what I put in there.
Well, I think you've got two slices of whole wheat bread.
Oh, ground
and
walnut.
And you said you've got to get your oven to about 375 degrees, so there's some baking here. And you need a 17.5 by 12.5 inch rimmed baking sheet. And you want to be sure you use parchment paper. But this is going to take a tomato. And with the tomato, you need to seed it. So you want to get the seeds out of it. You want to coarsely chop it. And then you've got half a cup of coarsely ground walnuts, 1/3 cup of diced sweet onion, 1/4 cup of minced Spanish olives. And oh, they are so flavorful. 2.5 tablespoons of red wine vinegar, 1 or 2 cloves of garlic, fresh garlic minced, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/2 to 2/3 cup of unhulled sesame seeds. You're going to need 1/4 cup of, or 1/4 bunch of parsley. Of course, you're going to use that as garlic. And a garnish, also 3 cherry tomato halves. And this one, I found it was quite interesting because the bread, you pour water over the bread. You cover it
right.
And drain it. Why do you do that?
Well, to soften the bread, because basically we're going to mix it all together by hand and roll it into balls. And then roll it into sesame seeds to coat it, and then we put it on the baking pan and bake it for about 25 to 30 minutes. And what you end up with is pretty little balls that are just attractive to look at, and they nice pungent flavors from the Spanish olives and the red wine vinegar and the garlic, and a little texture from the ground walnuts. And people wonder, what is in here? It's just so tasty. Because it's not evident when you first bite into it. You just don't really quite recognize what's in there.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of hidden, you know, little surprises hidden away. But it is a unique little appetizer that I just kind of thought, wouldn't it be nice to have something kind of pungent, something in a little ball shape, because it's always appealing to have finger food, you know.
Especially with parties. I think that is something... The finger food is really great. People like that. They like to munch on it. They can go back and just pick something up every once in a while and pop it into their mouth. So I think finger foods at parties. And this would be a great one for New Year's, anytime.
Are you a Brussels sprout lover?
Oh, I love Brussels sprouts. I love those little cabbages. That's what I call them. My husband said, they're not cabbages. I said, oh, yes, they are. I like those little cabbages. They have their own flavor. Mm-hmm. And I know that people seem to either love them or hate them. How do you fix those Brussels sprouts?
Well, a number of different ways, but if you just simply steam them, people aren't going to get too excited about them. But when I notice that people get excited when it's something different, what I like to do is slice them in half lengthwise, blanch them, and then for about a minute and a half, all it takes about a minute and a half to blanch them, to get them just soft enough to work with. And then you can use a grapefruit knife to kind of carve out the cavities, you know, carve out the centers to make a little cavity.
Mm-hmm.
And then we fill them with coarsely chopped almonds and artichoke hearts and Kalamata olives and pimento stuffed green olives, a little shallot, a little garlic, and stuff it back in there, sprinkle it with a little homemade Parmesan, which is another recipe in the book. It's a homemade Parmesan made from almonds, finely ground almonds and nutritional yeast, a little onion and garlic powder, and a touch of salt, and you've got a homemade Parmesan. Very definitely different from regular, you know, familiar Parmesan, but it's got a little familiar Italian flavor to it. And then we simply stuff these in there, served at room temperature, or you can warm them, and have this wonderful little, and you can, of course, garnish them with a little cherry tomato cut in half, And they look pretty. Think about red and green for Christmas. You can't go wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely
yeah.
true. Now, I know that stuffings are something that so many people enjoy, and a lot of people will be having fowl with their holiday meal. And I know at the SIBO house, we're going to be having some of that. We're going to have both beef and chicken and then vegetables because we have an array of people with different dietary patterns. And you had a recipe in here for the savory sourdough and wild rice stuffing. And we have just recently started introducing wild rice into our food program. And wild rice actually is a grass, isn't it?
It is, yes, yes, yes. However, it's got wonderful fiber, and it's very healthful, and it's got a wonderful texture. It's good for your stuff, you know, anything
mm-hmm.
high in fiber. Of course, anything, any plant foods are going to give you lots of antioxidants, too. That you don't get from the animal products. You've got to go to the plant foods to get some antioxidants.
Mm-hmm.
So,
absolutely true.
Yeah.
Now, with this, you are using a combination of the sourdough, which I think is such a wonderful, wonderful bread because it has such a unique taste to it. And this is how simple it is, and it's not unlike most of your dressing recipes other than you're adding your wild rice, and it's 2 cups of water, 2/3 of a cup of wild rice, 3/4 of a teaspoon of salt, 8 cups of cubed sourdough bread, 2/3 of a cup of pecans, 2 cups of vegetable broth, 3 stalks of celery, and you chop that up finely, 1 onion chopped, 1/2 cup of water, and then you used, 12 ounces to a pound of fresh shiitake mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
You discard the stems, you slice the caps, or you can use cremini mushrooms. Well, what if any mushroom could do in this?
True. Yes. I just happen to have an affinity for shiitakes.
Now, you also add yeast flakes, which I found interesting. 2 tablespoons plus 1 teaspoon of yeast flakes, which are very, very high in nutrition. And then you have 2 teaspoons of poultry seasoning, 1 3/4 teaspoons of salt, and 1 3/4 teaspoons of lemon pepper, one of my favorite seasoning peppers. Mm. Or you can just use plain pepper, 3/4 teaspoon of plain pepper. And you recommend a 13-by-9-inch baking pan, and the wild rice has to be cooked in advance. That is going to take you 45 minutes to maybe 55 minutes, depending on how the grains absorb the liquid. And then you say you want your bread cubes on a rimmed baking sheet and pecans on another. You want to toast the pecans for 6 to 8 minutes. And then you want to immediately take them out of the oven and put them on a plate where they can cool. Your breadcrumbs you're going to bake for 10 to 12 minutes or until they're really, really dry. And then you want to put everything. You want to put the bread in a large bowl because you're going to be mixing all of this stuff. Those of us that are fixed dressing are well acquainted with that. And then once the pecans are cooled, you grind them into a coarse meal and then add the pecans to the bread cubes and then your vegetable broth. And it's just going to start breaking down. You then add your celery, your onion, your water, and you cook it on top of the stove for about 12 to 15 minutes until the onions, if you want to do that. You know what I found? I just like to put it right in the dressing. I don't even go through cooking them in advance because I like that stronger flavor of the onions. That's me.
Mm, okay. You don't mind if they're a little bit crunchy? I mean,
no.
A little textured?
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. But that's what I do with the dressing.
Uh-huh.
I just put it in raw. I don't care. And it just seems to absorb. For some reason, at least with when I make it, the onions are not all that crunchy.
Mm, and how long do you bake your dressing?
Well, it depends. It can be maybe 1/2 hour
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Sometimes I'll actually put the dressing like in the bird. A lot of people don't do that now, but sometimes I will. So that gives even extra moisture. But anyway, you saute the onions first. I made a mistake there. You saute the onions first and then put it in. along with the celery and everything. And then the mushrooms you add, and you even cooked your mushrooms in advance. And you put everything in the bowl with the bread, add the yeast, the seasonings, and then you add the cooked rice and any liquid. Sometimes there's liquid still remaining after you cook wild rice. That was something I was unaware of, that would be the case. And you just add everything right there, into the mix, and put it in the baking pan, let it bake for 30 to 35 minutes. Be sure to cover it with foil. And then, you know, garnish in any way you like. But this has a whole different taste.
It does. The sourdough is what really comes through, and the shiitake mushrooms. You really get a rich, rich mushroom flavor and a very satisfying sourdough kind of quality. Yeah, it's a great stuffing. I love this. And of course, the texture.
Oh, yeah. You've got a number of recipes here. Let's talk about baking a crust. You have a recipe for an oatmeal crumb crust. How did you come up with this?
Well, these days, several people are going gluten-free. They're avoiding wheat and wanting to go to some other kind of way of recreating a wonderful pie dough. So oatmeal was a natural thing to turn to, and it actually works quite well. Basically, you throw it in the processor, pulse chop it a little bit to kind of create a little, break it down a little. I use old-fashioned rolled oats, and it just works out really well as a base for pie dough. And you don't even have to roll it. You just simply press it into the bottom and sides of the pan. So it's super easy, especially for those who feel pie dough can be a little daunting. You know, regular traditional pie dough. I was never successful at it. It just cracked and broke and was so frustrating. So I thought, I've got to master this in some other way. So I think the kind of pie dough that you can press into a pan seemed to be the answer, and it works. It really does. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question, because like you, I have met many individuals that are choosing to give up wheat, and they are challenged. And when you have a pie dough like this with the oatmeal crumb crust, when you're using this, and I was intrigued with the fact that you have a little bit of, well, you've got maple syrup in it, but also lemon juice. And I thought to myself, lemon juice, doesn't that come out in the taste with it, or does it sort of blend with a maple syrup that you put in there? Maple syrup I love.
You get a little hint, but, you know, it just seems to, if you ate it all by itself, yes, you would get a little hint of the lemon, but it's not overpowering. And when you eat the crust with the pie filling, it doesn't jump out. It really just kind of melts in there together, becomes part of the complex flavors. Really, really nice. Yeah.
Now, Ken, I would imagine you could use this for a cheesecake recipe, a cheesecake filling. But what about an apple pie filling or, you know, any of your fruit fillings? How would this crumb recipe work?
It works well. It
really?
Does not. Yeah, it works well.
And doesn't get soggy?
I don't think so. I haven't tried it with everything, but so far, so good, really.
I noticed that, and I've known some other people. I was talking with a friend at a party just recently who introduced me to a lady who is a baking expert. And one of her challenges, and I'm going to share this with her, and one of the challenges that she has had is finding recipes that are gluten-free, because a number of her clients, she cooks for different people, are just having that challenge. And of course, even with a standard pastry crust, if you don't pre-bake it or if you don't have it at the right temperature, you're going to find many times the crust gets soggy. And that's why I was asking, especially when you have fruit fillings.
If you're going to do a fruit filling, I think what I might do is pre-bake the crust about 8 to 10 minutes. And give it that little bit of time in the oven to kind of firm a little bit so that it forms a little bit of a barrier and it won't totally get soggy. I think it'll work just fine.
Now, you have in here a pumpkin apple nog.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I thought, what a delightful change from the standard eggnog.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really something that's light. Kids would like this a great deal.
They do.
And it's lighter. It doesn't have the heaviness of the standard eggnog, eggnog is wonderful, don't get me wrong. But it is exceedingly rich. And this one, you only need a cup and a quarter of apple juice, 1 cup of canned or fresh pumpkin, 1 cup of soy milk, nut milk, or rice milk, or whatever your milk of preference would be, 1/2 cup of maple syrup, 3/4 teaspoon plus 1/8 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, and 1/4 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, and a little bit extra for garnish. And oh, use fresh nutmeg in this. Oh, the fresh nutmeg grated is unbelievably, not just aromatic, but wonderfully flavorful. Put all this stuff in a blender, and that's it. Sprinkle it with a little bit of nutmeg. And you can add, if you wanted to make it an adult drink, you could add a little bit of brandy or rum. But that is such a different kind of a nog. I mean, it's really good.
It goes over with young and old. And if you wanted to do a little variation on that theme, I have a spiced cranberry nog as well.
Ooh.
And then I use fresh cranberries. That's one thing I tried to do in the book, was to really work with foods of the season. And really, they're so available for such a short time that you've got to just take advantage of it. And cranberries is one of those wonderful little treats. So I have a cranberry soy nog. It also uses maple syrup, a little soy milk, cinnamon, vanilla, all nice spices with allspice, nutmeg, cloves. And I use a little touch of xanthan gum or guar gum to give it a little touch of thickening.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with xanthan gum.
I've used it occasionally, and that is wonderful for any of your gluten-free flours. I know a little bit about it. I'm far from being an expert on it. But
it is used a lot in gluten-free cooking, but I use it to thicken salad dressings, where I do oil-free salad dressings. So I will add about anywhere from 1/8 to 1/2 teaspoon of xanthan gum or guar gum. I use them interchangeably, and it adds just a little bit of thickening that you want in a salad dressing to help it kind of cling. So in this case, it just gives it a little bit of richness, you know, because it has that slightly thicker kind of texture.
Mm-hmm.
Good soy nog. It's a good.
Good
way to use cranberries.
Oh, it's a wonderful, and cranberries are so good for you, especially during the winter months. They've got so much wonderful nutritional value to them as well, but they're so pretty. They really are pretty. And they just add not just the color, but also that nutritional punch that we need during the dark winter months. You have recipes in here for Hanukkah. You have recipes for Kwanzaa. You have the potato latkes with the tofu sour cream and apple sauce. I mean, and Kwanzaa, you've got sweet potato pie with cashew ginger cream. I mean, you've got all of these wonderful recipes, and there's just so much flavor with all of this and all of these delicious, delicious vegetables. This is a cookbook that I think anyone would enjoy, whether they're vegan or not. I think that the variety and the cultural diversity would be fun to experiment with, and your oil-free dressing for those guys and gals that are, after the holidays are over, they're going to say, okay, now this is what I have to do because I'm going to really want to pay attention to things. That's one of the things of your book also, that this is all very healthy, and it is something that tastes good. It's attractive to the eye and also tastes good to the palate. What's your website, Zell, that people can go to?
That would be vegparadise.com. And it's something that we've been doing my husband and I have been doing this for about 14 years. And it's just a wonderful resource for anything vegetarian. We have tons of recipes, got a great big long recipe index with all kinds of categories of foods. We do restaurant reviews. We do book reviews. We visit farmers markets and write about that. And we also offer all kinds of, you know, vegetarian information, like vegetarian basics 101, protein basics, calcium basics, any way that people want to get information about the vegetarian lifestyle. We have an heirloom gardening section. We have a chart for cooking beans and grains. Just all kinds of good stuff that it's just a good resource.
Oh,
and of course,
I think
loads
so.
And loads of links. And we have a local Los Angeles yellow pages of businesses and services that are for the vegetarian community. Yeah.
All right. Well, Sal, this has been wonderful. Your book is beautifully done.
Thank you.
And it's a feast for the eyes, as well as for those that you may love to cook. Wonderful, wonderful recipes that make a perfect gift for someone that really wants to make changes, perhaps in their dietary patterning. But again, vegan or not, it doesn't make any difference to me, even though the title is Vegan for the Holidays. I mean, I can tell you there's some wonderful recipes in here that easily I would utilize. This is Donna Seaborg. I want to thank Zell Allen for being my guest. I also want to encourage you to go to her vegparadise.com. Check that out. And we are taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Well, if you're like me, you're making preparations for the holidays and you're just doing, you're busy, 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 busy. And of course, I'm just like you. There's a lot of things going on and the silver is getting polished and the floors are getting scrubbed and all kinds of things are happening. Christmas is a day where we like to share it with friends and with family. And I'm going to have a special story that I want to share with you, but it's really interesting how there is so much that we're involved with, and I think about old generations of the past and how when you watch the old films about Scrooge and people having the Christmas goose and doing things that were done the very day of the holiday, and we're still doing those same patternings today. Some people may be going out to restaurants to eat, but usually it is very much oriented around the family, friends, and being able to share and have good fellowship because it's a time of celebration. It is a winter solstice. I wanted to digress for just a minute here. There is some information, I don't know about you, but in the building industry, there are all kinds of changes that have evolved. And they are becoming more and more conscious about how to use materials in the home. Now, one of the reasons this has evolved is because of technology, in part. We've become aware of how we create a toxicity in our environments. if we put in hardwood floors, dependent on how those woods have been processed, you can have a gassing that is going on in your home that creates a toxicity level in the body. There are various paints. Look at how we finally became aware of how dangerous lead paint is, how it affects children, if they should put any of it in their mouth. If ever you've been around kids, and even animals, they do the same thing. They might chew on wood that has this paint. Of course, it's highly toxic to them because they're small. And it's not good for us. And I had a friend many years ago who was staying in a guest house that had been painted with lead-based paint. And the fumes, she ended up having to go to the emergency room. It was very critical for her. So these are things we've become aware of. We've put out mandates, and a lot of things have changed. Well, I know here in the state of Washington, when it comes to flooring products, there have been rules and regulations with that. But there is a process that they're using now that is water-based, so you don't have the off-gassing. So if you have little ones on the floor or if you have animals, then they're not going to be affected by this. There's all kind of new plastic composite flooring. We are doing so many different things where we're saying we've got to pay attention to what we're doing. Not only do we have to pay attention to our environment that we live in, taking care of the environment that we occupy, but we also have to be aware of what we put in our homes because and what we use, because we're going to be breathing in those chemical components. So I would suggest if you're planning on doing any remodeling, if you're looking at any kind of change or upgrade in your environment, be sure to do some homework, because in our world today, sometimes the houses are built so tightly that actually mold develops. And I know of an individual that sent me photos of their home. I mean, I could hardly believe it. Their husband literally had to tear out the exterior walls of their house because the insulation that had been put in was covered with mold. It was black. So we need to be aware of what we use. And there are products that are non-toxic that you can use in your home if you're going to do any remodeling that are not going to cause an adverse effect with you, any children that might be in your home, and also your beloved pets. And that's something we often don't think about. And I know how we had had in our home, we had had a major problem with rats and with certain crawling critters, you know, the wood ants and other things. It can really be devastating, carpenter ants that can be devastating to a home that is of a wood structure because they will literally eat your wood. And we had an exterminator out. And this is something that we were told this was not going to harm our pets. But as it turned out, our little Scottish Terrier, Howie, ended up getting lymphoma. And it was because of the exposure to the chemicals. Now, I know there may be some people listening to this saying, oh, no, I'm in the chemical industry. It doesn't happen. Let me tell you, I know for a fact that those chemicals do affect your animals. And even if you have the spraying done, let's say during the drier months, they will step on the chemicals. And because they're smaller, then they lick their paws. And the reason we know about this is that when we found out that our little Scotty had lymphoma, and we were just stunned. We'd never had a Scotty that had this. And I'm not saying that dogs, you know, that Scotties can't get cancer. But lymphoma is extremely rare in Scottish Terriers. And I was talking with a vet, and the vet said she was stunned to see our little dog having this condition. However, she said, we see it commonly with dogs that are on farms. where there is a heavy use of pesticide. And she said these animals get it. And the reason that they're getting it, we believe, we haven't proved it infinitely, but the reason we believe they get it is because they are walking on it. They lick the pads. It goes up through their pads and goes into their system. And they're smaller in size, and even though the farm dogs were bigger, she said they're seeing this occurring in very, very high numbers. And it's something we need to keep in mind, that anything that is a poison is definitely going to have a toxic effect somewhere. So we stopped doing that. We said we've got to find another way of being able to deal with our challenges. And, well, our little guy hasn't gotten it at this time. But those are things that we need to think about. And our ancestors didn't necessarily think about it, but we need to think about it because it does affect everything around us. So just keep that in mind. I have, there's a wonderful magazine called Green Builder. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but if you ever have a chance maybe to find it at your local library or check it out, they keep people up to date with a lot of the changes that are occurring in the industry. I didn't know that there were concrete tiles, a roof tile, that actually, if you live in an environment where there's a lot of smog, they call it the Boral Pure technology. And what it does, it oxidizes what they call nitrogen oxides that are from automobile emissions, and it helps to convert them. So here are people that are thinking of concepts of how do we take what we've got in our environment and change its chemical composition so that we're not going to have a negative. And it's just fascinating. We human beings are capable of doing so much, but who would have thought that roof tiles or something that could take a negative, a toxin, and change it into something that could be a positive. Amazing stuff. And who knows what else people are going to come up with. Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I wanted to share a story with you about a family. And they had decided, this was a number of years ago, that they wanted to do a business of their own. And the business they decided to go into was the Christmas tree business. Now, they live in Texas, here in the Pacific Northwest, where we have gobs of rain. Christmas tree farms are not uncommon. And they're absolutely beautiful to see because it's just acre upon acre upon acre of all these gorgeous, gorgeous trees. And, of course, many families will make it a special holiday event. They go out and they will go up into these environments where the tree farms are, and they're able to pick the tree that they want and then bring it home. And it's quite a celebration. It's something they really, really enjoy. Well, David is a man. He and his wife, Karen, they decided that that's what they really wanted to do, and they just loved having this tree farm. They loved Christmas as a holiday, and it was just absolutely wonderful. Well, when they started to explore this, they had talked with a gentleman who was into tree farming, and they asked him, they said, you know, we think we'd really like to be in some kind of business where we're able to be a part of the environment and to interact with people. What's it like doing a tree farm? Well, the old-timer that they talked with, and this was in the year 2000, he said, you'll never get rich. He said, it's a lot of hard work. You'll make a good income, but you're never going to become a millionaire doing this. And it's so rewarding every Christmas holiday. Well, they decided that they wanted to do this. Now, they lived in an area that was just a little bit north of Houston, and they had a five-acre lot section, and they said, all right, let's take and think about this. What do we want to do? Well, about a year after they'd had this conversation with this old-timer, They ended up being able to purchase 35 acres of land that were adjacent to the five-acre section that they had been living on. They said it was in a floodplain, which was perfect because trees would just be very happy with that. And by golly, they decided they were going to do it, and they made an arrangement with these people. They saved all of their money, and it took them 8 years to get ready for business. Now, we're going to take a break. I'm going to tell you about this family and about their tree farm, and they named it Tinsel Time Christmas Tree Farm. We'll find out more about the story in just a minute. If you want to give me a buzz, 888-627-6008. We're going to be right back.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I was talking about the tree farm before we went on break, and can you imagine running a tree farm at Christmas? That would really be just a very, very intense time, 4 months. I mean, really, people often start buying right after Thanksgiving. They start buying Christmas trees. Well, the family ends up opening Tinsel Time Christmas Tree Farm, 2008. Everybody in their family was involved, their nieces, their nephews, their kids. I mean, they just had a great time. They had hay rides, they had marshmallow toast, and they even managed to get a sleigh that was, you know, people could have sleigh rides. It was absolutely fabulous. Now, of course, we all know about the economy tanking. Well, sure enough, it affected the tree farm sales, and it's something they just said, you know, it's all going to work out. And then, after the economy tanked, well, a drought hit. Texas is known for droughts. They got hit. Now, what they started to do was to hand water trees and, of course, the saplings that they had to plant, because they had to plant new trees every year. But they ended up with hundreds and hundreds of dead trees. And when they had to go through and cut down the dead trees, it just broke their hearts. But there's nothing you can do when a drought hits than do what you have to do. And they just were heartbroken. Their trees that they loved so much were dead, so many of them. And they were trying to figure out how they could manage to survive this period, because both of them really believed in their business. But hey, you have to deal with practical things, don't we? We have to look at, is this going to work? Are we going to have to close the tree farm? We've got a whole bunch of trees. And Karen, David's wife, said that there were some tree farms that she knew that had been in trouble. They had ordered them from a firm in North Carolina, pre-cut, She said, you know, we'd only make a small profit, but it's at least something for people to buy. Well, David said, are you kidding? You're out of your mind. How are we going to do it? What was the magic in having a pre-cut tree? And she said, well, think about it. It's better than closing down the tree farm. The drought isn't going to last forever. This happens occasionally. What are we going to do? Well, David was beside himself. He just went for a walk, and not too far from where all of his dead trees were, he was looking at an area near a creek. Now, the creek wasn't flowing at its full level, but he said, the trees around this creek, they're still green. And you know what? And he looked at them very carefully. They actually were taller and fuller than the ones that had been in another section of the tree farm area. Remember, they had 35 acres of trees. And he took out a tree that he had uprooted because it was dead, looking at its roots. And the roots were really, really puny. And he went over to these green trees that were by the creek, and of course they're near the water. But remember, the drought's going on. And he took some of the needles and he rubbed them between his hands. And he said, you know what? These are really, really healthy trees. And the tree was very firmly rooted. And then he became aware of something. The drought that was such a negative, that had caused the death of so many trees, there was something that had occurred that at that moment he recognized. The weaker trees had died. The stronger trees had developed a level, those that were surviving, of drought resistance. They had adapted to the heat, to the wind, and they were going to make it. That's right. So he said, okay, this is Karen's suggestion is a good one. We have some extremely good trees here. We're going to be able to reseed our farm, and we're going to have a tree that is going to be able to withstand the environmental shift that we went through. And by golly, they went, ordered the pre-cut trees, and they put signs up showing that they had pre-cut trees available. And you know what? People started coming out. So they made profit so that they could reinvest in their farm, but they had learned a number of things. Adaptability and flexibility is very important. And it was a lesson about life, too. Sometimes we do things, or we have to do things, to get us through some cycles that might be unpleasant for one reason or another. And David learned that problem solving can come in many different forms, but you have to be open for the opportunity to explore and to recognize what might be available to you. And I thought that that was a wonderful, wonderful Christmas story to share. And he said, you know what? Christmas has come as usual to the Tinseltime Christmas Tree Farm. We're still in business. And I want to say hats off to David and Karen. I want to wish all of you the merriest of Christmas holidays. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, recognize that this is a celebration of life. And for those of you that celebrate Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, the same gift I want to wish to you. Because it's important to realize we're all part of this wonderful experience called the human family. And no matter what our celebrations might be, sharing good food, fun times, stories, and fellowship with others always is going to enrich our lives. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow, there will be a Christmas special. It is a tradition that the Donna Sebo Show does. And I'm going to be celebrating with my family, but I'll be back with you on Wednesday. Ah, yes. And we're going to be talking about yoga. Yes, Weight loss through yoga. Mm-hmm. So you won't have to keep on any extra pounds. Not for long, anyway. And also some other wonderful guests during the rest of this week. Happy holidays to all of you. And we'll be back here, same time, same place, on Wednesday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.